Chapter number one, if we would. Now, I realize we've been preaching through the book of Romans, and we'll get back to that next week. Just as a reminder, we're preaching the book of Job on Wednesday nights when I'm preaching, and then we got a missionary, I believe, on Wednesday night. I got a mission conference to preach down in Arkansas later on, but we're preaching through Job on Wednesday nights, the Kings and the Prophets on Sunday nights. And we're looking at the book of Romans on Sunday morning, and all of those have been a blessing. But I want to do something that's out of character for Pastor Abel's. I actually want to preach on Mother's Day, a Mother's Day message, because I want to get in the history of mankind that I did preach a few Mother's Day messages. I'm getting old, so I want to make sure that people think I have a good heart. You know. Let's go ahead and stand just for a few seconds, a few minutes, in honor of God's Word. I'm going to look at chapter 1 here, and this is about Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And boy, does Samuel have a prolific place in the history of the prophets. In fact, I am amazed by some of the passages of Scripture that you read about Samuel. But the life of Samuel and the prophet Samuel started with his mother. It started with a woman who had a heart to have a child and have a heart. But not, more than have a heart, she was willing to give her son over to the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you study the culture that she was doing this in, it was a wicked culture. In fact, the culture was described in the day of Hannah that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, a lot of people fail to read all of the text to see that God didn't just give her this young man, this boy Samuel. He also gave her other children. But Samuel was her firstborn child, and she was distressed. And really, if I could give you the central thought of this passage of Scripture is this, that Hannah had a heart for God. In fact, I would go as far as saying that this woman had a broken heart for God. And there's one thing to have a heart for God. There's another thing to have a broken heart for God. And I want us to see how this plays out in the life of Hannah, who had a heart for God in a wicked culture. Now, notice in verse number 10, I'll explain a little bit of chapter 1 up until this point. But for time's sake, I want you to see that Hannah was she was in a bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. I want you to think about that verse that we just read, that she said, God, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him to you. Now, this was in light of the culture that I mentioned, that here she was, the wife of a man who had two wives, which right there, that's wicked. That is outside of God's realm or God's way. But yet, that was the culture in which they lived in. They worshiped God. They went to the temple. But the problem was with two wives. One had children and one didn't. Hannah did not. And therefore, she was beaten up, if you would, spiritually, emotionally. She was laughed at by her adversary who said, nah, I have children and you do not. That's just mean and wicked. But that's a lot of the culture that surrounded where she was at. But I don't think that we could ever overestimate the influence that a mother has over her children. I'm telling you, men do not have the influence that a mother has over her children. And here's a woman that just right off, she's willing to give her children to God. Now, in the culture that we live in today, mothers and fathers are looking for their children to make lots of money, have lots of degrees. They want their children to be doctors. They talk about when they're kids, doctors and lawyers. Well, listen, what about preachers and missionaries? What about if people would just be willing to get on their face before God and say, "Oh God, would you use my children? Would I would give them to the Lord." That's not going on like it used to. So I want to look at this heart for God in a wicked culture, if God will help me for the next few minutes. Lord, we love you. Lord, I miss my mother. I'll just tell you right now, I miss my mom. I'm thankful for mothers. I'm thankful for my wife who bore my children. I'm thankful that for mothers here today. And Lord, the idea that we see from the heart of the brokenhearted Hannah here in 1 Samuel, who would give birth to the prophet Samuel. We know that later on. But in our text, she has no children. She's got an adversary that's really given her a hard time. But Lord, she is a Jewish girl, woman, who realizes that it's a shame not to be able to have children in that culture, more than maybe even our culture today. And I just pray, Lord, that we would look at the broken heart of Hannah, and that we might desire that we would have mothers today in Berean Baptist Church that would have a broken heart for their children, that they would pray that God would use them in whatever way that God would so choose, and that it would not be necessarily their choice, but it would be God's choice. I'm not here to say that God will call every man or woman to be a missionary or a preacher or whatever it might be, but I do believe the influence of a mother in her prayer closet asking God to do something can make a difference. And in a little way, we have a woman here who just says, "Lord, if you'll give me that man-child, I'll give him back to you." And we know the rest of the story because we've got the whole Bible before us. We have the record of Samuel. We understand the great prophet he becomes, and even what Jeremiah had to say about Samuel, even in later years. I pray, God, you'd help me to bring the message today in such a way that mothers today would be convicted to give their children to God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. I mean, you can begin to go back to chapter 1, and I did not choose to do that, but here was a woman who was living in a culture that was very, very difficult. And I say difficult because Eli was not the priest really that he should have been. He had allowed his sons to run uncontrollable in the worship of the temple. He, in fact, when you begin to look at the prayer of Hannah, his mind is so skewed, if you would, that when Hannah is in distress of her prayer and when she is pouring her heart out before God, Eli thinks she may have had too much to drink. That's his mindset. I mean, he was not perceptive of what was taking place. And I'm just telling you, that was exactly where we're at. It was like a situation in the culture where people called evil good and good evil. As I mentioned earlier, it was the time of the judges where we understand very clearly that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. We understand that during that time period that Israel would go into a distressful situation over their enemy, whoever it might be at the time. And then they would repent and call on God, and God would raise up a judge, and that judge would rule over the people and many times would give them relief from their situation, but only to find that the cycle would repeat itself over and over and over again. And this just didn't go on for 10 or 20 years. This went on for hundreds of years. So that now the people are to the place where, hey, we want to be like the rest of the world. In fact, what we want, and this is going to happen later on, of course, but what we want is we want to be like everybody else. Now, I want to tell you, it's a problem when God's people want to be like everybody else. They were not like everybody else. They were the people of God. They had the covenants of God. They had the law of God. They had the oracles of God, the Bible says. They had a theocracy, meaning that God ruled over them. The Word of God was to be their guide. No, they decided, like the rest of the world, They wanted to be like everybody else. And so they said, give us a king. Give us a king to rule over us. Give us a king to go out and fight our battles. And really it became a situation where the Philistines were very powerful. And Samuel is, of course, going to be a part of that. Now you can agree or disagree or whatever it might be. But in my mind, Samuel is going to really become like the last judge and the first prophet. He's going to be the transitional character in the Word of God, where there's going to transition from the time of the judges to where there's this time of the kings. And so Samuel was that judge. But in our text, Samuel's not there. Samuel is just a figment of the hope and the heart of a woman named Hannah who had been placed in a very difficult situation. It was a difficult situation. And Hannah, of course, is a woman who had a most great desire to have a child. And her situation was quite miserable. And again, for time's sake, I'm not going to go back, but the Bible tells us that Hannah was given a portion to worship just like the other woman was. But notice in verse number 6 what the Bible tells us to let us know that her situation was very adversarial. And that is this: her adversary provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, I'm telling you, I love when we study the Bible, and we have to study the Bible, of course, in light of the culture that it was written in and the time frame that it was written in and the people that it was written in. And we're doing that right there in the book of Esther. And so there's always these things that come up, the cultural differences between what's going on in the East and then the mindset of an American or a American who reads the Bible and reads it with a Western mindset. Listen, today, I'm telling you, there are people who do not have children, and it is a grief to them. It's a grief. But in the Jewish culture, it is magnified 100 times over. I mean, that's the only way that I can explain it. I'm just saying that she realized, listen, if every Jewish young woman who was married understood that her children carried the heritage, but it was the thing that they overwhelmed them was that the possibility that they might be the one to give birth to the Messiah. Now, while that is a truth, you look at the Word of God and you think, well, even maybe not the Messiah himself, but the lineage of the Messiah. And then I love how God makes sure that everybody is included, because in the lineage of Jesus Christ, you have people like Rahab, who is called the harlot. And we talked about, I mean, I'm just saying to you, it's an amazing story to read the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That we're all a bunch of sinners who need to be saved by the grace of God, and the Messiah died for us all. But how are you going to give birth to the Messiah if you don't have any children? The Bible said God had closed her womb up in this wicked culture that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And I believe that you don't have to go very far right now to understand the application that can be made in our culture, which is totally upside down in many ways. I just can't believe the spiral and how fast we're going away from spiritual things and the things of God. As I mentioned in my prayer, I said this, that evil is called good and good is called evil. And people want us to believe things like, people don't know if they're a boy or a girl. That is the most insane, uncommon thing that ever think about. It boggles the mind that our children are trying to be indoctrinated with some kind of foolishness like that. So here's what I want you to look at this morning. The first thing I want you to see about Hannah is this, and this is the most important thing, is this: she had a heart for God. That is totally evident from reading chapter number 1. She had a heart for God. Now listen, there can people be scream and cry and beg and ask God, but she said, God, I will give him back to you. That is a rarity. That is a much of a rarity. We're in a culture today where people would be willing to give their children to God. She was willing to give her child to God, And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think this is a stretch. You're not going to do that unless you have a heart for God. You would never be willing to give your children over to God unless you had a heart for God. Now, can I say that God always has used a heart toward God, has always used a heart turned toward Him. Now, the Bible is very clear. Right now, we're reading through our Bible at this point, and it's the story of David, and it's the story of Samuel. Samuel's getting ready to go off the scene, and David is getting ready to come on the scene. And we know that Saul, who did not carry out the commandments of God in the annihilating the Amalekites. Now you realize that what happened by not doing what God said gives us the story of Haman and Esther. You understand that? By not annihilating the Amalekites, there were those that escaped. Agai did not escape because, praise God, Samuel, the man of God, took a sword and chopped him up. I want to see that. I'd love to see that. But many of the Amalekites escaped because Saul did not carry out the commandment of God to annihilate the Amalekites who had given the Israelites trouble during their leaving of Egypt and going into the promised land. And the Amalekites came behind them and did all that kind of, they were chickens is what they were. And they came by, they were like people who want to take other people out of church, but they want to do it by going to the weak, and they want to go to those that are young and those that don't know the doctrines like they did. Listen, you got a problem, why don't you come talk to me? Don't talk to a young Christian that just got started. That's got nothing to do with my message, but I thought it was to throw that out there. And I'm telling you that because they did not kill the Amalekites, Saul didn't, God said to Samuel, the prophet, who's going to be the prophet born to the girl, the woman Hannah, she says, he said, well, listen, Saul, you disobeyed God. And Saul did everything he could. Well, I'm sorry. No, he wasn't sorry. He got caught. And so God said through Samuel, Samuel, how long are you going to sit around and moan and groan about this? Get your horn of oil, and I want you to go to Bethlehem, and I want you to go to the house of Jesse, because I have chosen a man, what did he say? After God's own heart. And you can say a lot of things about David. And David was not a perfect king, and he was not a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination. But here's what you can say about David. He had a heart for God. And because he had a heart for God, God used him greatly. Now, in the case of Hannah, it was not only a heart for God, but listen to me, it was a broken heart for God. You know, God uses broken things like nobody else. God is in the business of using broken people. So many times we cannot be used to our full potential in the things of God because we're too prideful, or we think it's about us, or we think, look at me, or whatever it might be. But I'm telling you, when God breaks a person down and removes the selfishness and the pride that is so naturally found in us, only then can God use us like He really wants to use us. If your thought process is me, myself, and I, you're not going to be used. Amen. I'm telling you, one of my favorite books that I've ever read, I got this book back in 1994 after going through a situation. It's called The Tale of Three Kings. And it really tells the tale about Saul and David and Absalom, and how that Saul came and tried to kill him, and all the things that David had to go through. And David, who was a man of war, when Saul threw a spear at him, David didn't throw the spear back. It's about brokenness. It's about being a broken heart. And let me tell you something. God uses that kind of person. The lower that we can get, the more God can use us. The higher we get, the less God can use us. Jesus said in John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat, listen to this, fall into a ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Before a house can be built, a tree must be broken down and the ground prepared. Before a foundation can be laid, there must be the broken ground. Before a foundation is laid, the rocks must be blasted from the quarry and mixed to make concrete. Listen to me. Hannah was a woman who was broken. Now, just so that you can see that, I want you to look at verse number 6. Her adversary provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Look at verse number 8. Elkanah, her husband, said, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy, look at this, heart grieved? Am not I better than thee than 10 sons? What an idiot. I mean, let me just say that. That sounds like a typical man. Oh, Hannah, what's wrong with you? Ain't I better than 10 sons of you? No, you're not. You're my husband who has 2 wives, and she's got children, and I don't. Listen, don't try to make the Bible unreal. It is real. What a goober, if I could say it like that. No, she was brokenhearted because she had no children. Look at verse number 10. She was bitterness of the soul. She prayed and wept sore. Verse 11, she vowed a vow. And she, look at this. Here's what she said. And this is really kind of our verse. If Lord, if you'll look on the affliction of thy handmaid. She's afflicted. She's broken. Verse number 15. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I'm not drunk, Eli. Eli said, hey, you need to get right with God. And Hannah is more right with God than Eli is. And she has to explain to the man, Eli, that no, I'm not drunk. My heart is broken. My heart is sore over my situation. And God at least used Eli to say, okay, then God's going to give you a child. But her heart was broken over the fact that she could not have children. And I've already said this, but what a major factor in the Jewish culture that was. The idea of a, and listen, it's still true. The idea of a woman getting married and having children, listen, that's one of the most fundamental facts of life. And I don't have any problem when my daughter was growing up and her mother, my wife, was a stay-at-home mom and homeschooled our kids and did everything she could to raise our kids. And I was out sometimes doing 2 and 3 jobs because I wanted her to be home with my children and the influence that she had on my children. And therefore, that when my daughter got to the place where she could say, I want to be a mother one day. I want to be a wife one day. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That is one of the most natural, fundamental things in life. And don't listen to the culture who tries to take that away. See, I'm just telling you, much of the culture of Hannah's wickedness is much of our wickedness is very similar. And the inability to have children is what caused her to be broken. Now, I will say this, just so you'll understand, that people can have brokenness for other reasons. You can be brokenhearted because a child has gone astray. But listen, you need to take that child to the Lord in prayer. And make sure that you don't shut them out, but you're there if they come back to the Lord. But you can be broken for that. When's the last time that you prayed and fasted over a child gone astray? You can be brokenhearted or broken because of a physical condition. Paul spoke of his thorn in the flesh, but he also said that was the thing that kept him humble. Maybe you're here on Mother's Day and you've got the broken spirit of Hannah. You could be broken by disappointment or bereavement or loss or pain or weakness or sickness. If so, just remember that God uses broken things. That is, when we're broken is when God can use us. Broken things are used by God. Listen, broken things are not necessarily accidents or tragedies, but they're opportunities to be used by God. Hey, when I'm in a broken situation over whatever it might be, usually that's when I'm the closest to the Lord. That's usually when God speaks the greatest. You know what we do with broken things? We cast it aside. We call it junk. But God takes the broken things and uses it to show His ability and His power and that He is the one that is in control, not us. Did you know that God doesn't know any disappointments? Nothing's ever caught God off guard. He's never surprised about your broken situation. You know what He does? He goes, that'll fit right into my plan. I'll be able to use them now. God makes what He breaks and breaks only what He wants to make. And in our text, God is preparing a great mother and a great son who will be used greatly by God. What a great story. I love the story of Hannah and her brokenness. In the book of Genesis, we understand that the fellowship between God and man was broken and sin entered into mankind. You know what? God used this broken fellowship to exhibit His grace. In Exodus, the Bible speaks of the broken law. God used this to prove to man His need of God's salvation and grace. In the Psalms, we see over and over and over a broken and contrite heart. Some of the greatest Psalms were written when David was on the run from Saul. When David was living in the underneath the stars, and there was God, and God was speaking to this man who was broken and could not understand his situation because he had not done anything wrong. It was Saul who pursued David and tried to kill him. And David goes from one place to the next place. And then we know the story of David, how that the discontented men begin to meet with him. And with this ragged band of men became really the army of the living God of Israel under his reign. But it was there in the Psalms where we see over and over a broken and a contrite heart. And God uses this to show us His comfort. And as I mentioned, God used those times to break David and bring him to a place, listen to this, where he could be a mighty king. You know when David got in trouble? When it says in 1 Samuel, he said, when kings go forth to battle, David stayed at home. One of the greatest men to ever fight was David. Son, you did not want to mess with David. And I would always think, man, what it would have been like if David had Jonathan as the captain of the guard instead of old Joab. Joab was a thorn in the flesh. He was a burr in the saddle. But David was a great warrior. And you know what? David became a great warrior because he was broken. God's not going to use you if you're not broken. Now listen, let's make this application now to understand. Moms, you need to be broken over your children. You need to cry over your children. You need to pray over your children. In Matthew, the loaves were broken and there were five. And when Jesus broke, the results were over 5,000 fed. Jesus, God uses broken things. And listen to this, He uses broken people. God will never use a man of pride. I'm telling you, man, I've seen preachers, I've seen missionaries who walk around with their chest pointed out like they're God's gift to the universe. And I'm thinking, you can't be used like that. You got to be a servant. You got to be broken. I'm telling you, if you've not been broken over our country over the last 3 or 4 years, I don't know. If you have not cried over our country, I'd say you probably never will. It's broken. And we need to be broken over it. God uses broken things and broken people. He wants to break us of our bitterness. Listen. You can be broken and become bitter. Or you can be broken and become humble. He wants to break us of our bitterness and those things that our life that we wish were not there. Life happens. And a lot of life we have no control over. He wants to crush covetousness. He wants to get rid of carnality. And my friend, if there is one thing He wants to eradicate from us, it's the critical spirit. I am tired of the critical spirit. You can be broken without being critical. He wants to kill our pride and anything that would prevent us from serving Him. Hannah was broken to the point, listen to this, where she totally yielded to God, trusting Him and her brokenness to turn to God. Again, I want us to read this story in verses 11 through 15 again. She's broken in verse number 11. She says, God, look on my affliction. Verse number 12, she prays to God. Verse number 13, she said, I'm not drunk at all, but I'm broken. I want God to hear me. And verse number 15, she said, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Now, she even goes to prayer, don't count me as one of the handmaids of Baal worship. I'm of a God worshiping. So I want you to understand, Eli said, go in peace, verse number 17. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked Him. Now, let me just tell you something. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken spirit, a broken heart. And Psalm 34:18 says, and save us such as of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Now, Psalm 51 was written in light of David's sin with Bathsheba, and after 1 year of living with this killing of Uriah and committing adultery with Bathsheba, the man of God goes and confronts David with his sin. David writes Psalm 51. And David writes about the sacrifices of God. And he says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Listen, more than burnt sacrifices, God's looking for a broken spirit. Then he says, a broken and contrite heart. Listen to this. God will never despise that. And He's not going to despise Hannah. What He's going to do is He's going to look on Hannah. He's going to give her a child, not just a child, but a man child. And that child is going to grow up to be the prophet Samuel. How many have read in their Bible reading? If you're in, if you're not, catch up. But just in the last day or two, right in this period right now, that when God said to Samuel, Samuel, get up, quit mourning over Saul. I've rejected him. His heart is not toward me. I've chosen a young man who has a heart for God, and so I want you to go to the city of Bethlehem, and I want you to go to the house of Jesse. Now, everybody get this in the text. It says, when Samuel showed up in Bethlehem, you know what the Bible said? They feared. Did everybody catch that? What does that mean? That he was looked upon as a man of God. And they said, oh my, the prophet has showed up. And he goes, oh no, everything's good. What I'm trying to get you to understand is the caliber of the man Samuel. But it didn't start with Samuel. Listen, everybody. It started with his mother. Do you understand? Anytime I do marriage counseling, anytime I say this, the mother has more influence than the father. Yes, men, you're to lead your home. Absolutely, 100%. But don't ever forget, your wife is the one that has the influence. A broken heart will give birth to humility. A broken heart will give birth to yieldness. A broken heart will give birth to dedication. A broken heart will give birth to service. A broken heart will give birth to consecration. That is what God is trying to accomplish in us. And because Hannah had it, she was able to transfer that to her son. Now let me just show you a couple of things about what took place when her heart was broken. When her heart was broken and turned toward God, you know what God did? He gave her peace. Look at verse number 17 and 18. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. You know, people that are not saved have a lot of turmoil in their spirit. People that are not saved have the weight of sin heavy upon them. But you know what? When you get a contrite and broken heart, and listen, you repent and you come to Christ and you call upon Him for salvation, let me just tell you something. You'll get the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And there's very likely people sitting in this room this morning that's never been saved by the grace of God. You know what? They're prideful. They're going to do it their own way. And you go, I'm not private. Yes, you are. If you do not have a broken heart to come to Jesus Christ in salvation, whether you realize it or not, the reason you're so miserable in your spirit and in your soul is because you're trying to do it your way rather than God's way. And I'm saying, be a broken person and come to Christ and repent and be saved, and He'll do for you what He did for Hannah. He gave her peace. I love a new Christian. I love their spirit. Because a lot of times they're like, why does everybody get saved? And you're thinking, well, there was a time when you were not saved. Yeah, but now that I am, everybody should want to be saved. That's correct. But it starts with a broken heart. When I found the grace of God, you know what I found? I found the peace of God. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. One of my favorite Psalms. Trust in the Lord. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust Him also, and He will bring it to pass. You know what Hannah did? She trusted God. She said, Lord, if I'm ever going to have a child, apparently I'm not able to up until this point in my life. But she trusted God. And you know what God did? Not only did He give her peace, but He answered her prayer. Isn't that good? Look at verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it shall come to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. You know what? Hannah stayed at home in preparation of herself and her son for the ministry that God would give them. I'm amazed by two people in the Bible whose mothers had such an impact on their life, yet there was very a short period of time that those two children were with their mother. One was Moses, and the other was Hannah. And I'm just telling you, the influence of a mother can never be overemphasized. But when you're broken, you realize your children. Listen to this, moms. Now listen. When you are broken, you will realize your children are better off given to the Lord than you trying to decide what's best for them. God knows what is best, and we need to give our children back to the Lord. And I think the earlier the better. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, in the light of Timothy, there's a lot of talk about his mother and his grandmother and their influence. Hey, listen, grannies, grandma, nana, whatever they call you. You too can have influence on your grandchildren. I know my wife does, because every time I see my grandchildren, I haven't seen them in a while, they all say the same thing. Hi, Papa. Where's Nana? It's only when they need money they come to me. But I'll open it up if I've got it. Influence. Let me ask you, Mom, seriously. I'm serious when I say this to moms. When's the last time you went in your prayer closet and cried for your children to be used by God? Or was it, man, I hope God doesn't put them in the ministry, they'll starve to death. I don't know if I've ever told this story or not. I probably have. And my parents are now passed away, gone on to be with the Lord. But when I was born premature. And when I was born, they did not have the necessary shots that they do now. Like if a baby's going to be born early, like way early, and the lungs are some of the last things to develop. And so there's all kinds of shots and different things they can help to bring the. And they do this in these premature babies that are born now. Isn't it amazing? Those little babies, 2 and 3 pounds, and they put them in those NIC ICUs, and they put little droppers of whatever, milk and nutrition, and they do all this, and they grow up, and it's amazing. Now, I was just about a month early, so 4 to 5 weeks early, and my lungs hadn't developed, and I had to go through a series. I got asthma when I was a kid, and I had all these problems because of my lungs. My wife thinks it's hilarious because she says, ain't nothing wrong with your lungs now. But I'm told, because I learned this after God called me to preach. I had no idea about this. Had no idea. This is something I didn't know. But apparently when I was somewhere around 13 to 14 months, I was under an oxygen tent. And I was in the hospital because I always had these trouble. You know, back then people smoked and stuff and nobody thought anything about it. I mean, yeah, they thought that was normal. I mean, my parents were smoking and I was dying. They didn't know. They later quit. Praise God. Doctor basically said, "You need to move to Arizona or Colorado to maybe help this boy live." So what'd they do? Fire up another cigarette. No, I'm just saying they quit. But anyhow, we didn't go nowhere, and I survived. But when I was in this oxygen tent, I'm told, my dad told me this when I was 24 years old. I'd never heard this until I was 24. And the reason I heard it from him is because, which is amazing. So anyhow, I'm in this oxygen tent, and the doctor walks in and says, "You need to tell your boy goodbye because he'll never make it through the night. There's nothing else we can do." And so this has a lot to do with why I'm a fighter. Because I made it. I didn't die. Everybody listen, I didn't die. I know some of you wished I had, but I didn't. And so I didn't know that story. Never heard that. I know that when I was a kid, when a lot of times when I was like 5 or 6 years old, one of the things I was deathly allergic to, if you can believe this, was the dew that fell. When that dew would fall at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 in there in eastern Tennessee, I'd stop breathing. So I had to come in when everybody else was still outside playing. When I was 5 and 6 years old, I had to come in. That's why I became a TV baby. I sat in front of the TV. I've seen every episode of Gilligan's Island, Batman. Oh, there's a bunch of them, but anyhow. Andy Griffin. So anyhow, I had to come in. So anyhow, I got better. I had to go through shots for like 7 years. By the time I was 12 or 13, I grew all that. And I was perfectly healthy, just like anybody else, and went on with life. When I got 24 years old, God, I got saved. When I was 24 years and 9 months, God called me to preach. And I was scared to death to tell my parents. I was, because I knew they'd think, man, I'm going to starve to death. And by the way, we've never starved. We've gotten skinny, but we didn't starve. And so when I called my dad and told him that God had called me to preach, he said, "Well, it's about time." And I was like, "Are you Bob Abels?" Excuse me. And he told me that story, that on that night when the doctor came in and told him that I would probably make it through the night, he said, "Me and your mama got down on our knees and we said, God, we'll just give this boy to you if you'll save his life." He said, "Now, we did not want to tell anybody that, because if God was going to do something, it was going to have to be God to do it, not us." But do you see the influence? Moms, do you see the influence that you have over your children? Hannah had great influence over her children. I don't really have time to develop it, but if you were to go to Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 15. I have it in my text somewhere. In Jeremiah chapter 15, the Bible kind of gives you an idea about the greatness of what God thought of. Jeremiah 15:1. It kind of gives you an idea of what a great man Samuel was, because he's listed with Moses as standing before God on behalf of Israel. And God said, "I'm going to send him into captivity." But I'm just saying to you, it just gives you an idea that these two men, Moses and Samuel, their mothers, while only with them for a short period of time, had great influence. Now let me ask you this. You know, when Samuel was probably 5 years old, and he was taken to the temple and turned over to Eli. And he worked in the temple there. You think he looked forward to seeing his mother every year? Or if she didn't come, she brought him a coat. But you know what? She kept her vow. She gave him to the Lord. Now, Hannah could not see the future. But we can look back and say, wow, what a man of God he was. But it all started with a mother who had a broken heart for her condition, her situation, to have children. And then she was willing to turn her children over to God. And God used Samuel in one of the most amazing prophets that we could ever see. God answered her prayer. This all started when a woman with a heart toward God was willing to give her child to God. A boy who became a man, who became a prophet. And that's what Israel knew him. Now, just in a snapshot, Hannah stays at home, prepares herself and her son for the ministry of God. And when you are broken, you realize your children are better off given to God than to anything that you could do with them. When you are broken, you'll keep your promises. Three bullocks were given, which was, by the way, listen, that was a heavy price to be paid. Why did she do this? Listen to me. Because she had a heart for God. Where is your heart toward God today? Moms, you need to pray for your children to be saved. It's not my responsibility, it's your responsibility to pray for your children to be saved and to be used by God. Let's stand this morning.